Welcome to Revival from the Bible, a daily devotional podcast designed to help more people get into God's Word and get more out of the Word. I'm Ben Blakey. Today's passage is 1 Samuel 28 through 31. Do you remember back when you were a kid, the first time you saw a movie that didn't have a happy ending? Do you remember the experience that was for you? The shock? Wait, the good guys don't win? The guy doesn't get the girl? They don't all live happily ever after? What's going on here? Well, not every story does have a happy ending. And that's true in the stories that are told in movies and books and some of the stories that are told in the Bible. And today we come to the ending of the story of King Saul. This guy that came to be the first king of his nation was taller than anyone else, that actually started by showing leadership and leading people to victory. Today you will see the sad ending. And especially in God's Word, when we see a sad story, there is a purpose. And here's the purpose I want you to consider as we look at the end of the life of King Saul today. I don't want your life to have the sad ending of King Saul. We don't want your life to be one that has a sad ending. And you'll see, you will die someday. So there will be an ending. But here's the thing. That doesn't need to be sad. It's the way Saul dies and all the things that happen before that that make it a sad and defeating end. And what can we learn from this? Well, let's look at Saul. We'll spend most of our time probably looking at Saul, and then we'll look at some of the things our passage today shows us in the life of David. But we see that the Philistines have come out to fight against Israel. And Samuel is dead, and Saul, it said, had put the mediums and necromancers out of the land. That's good. But when the Philistines come, verse 5 says that Saul was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. Now, if he had been walking with the Lord all of this time, I don't think he would have been so afraid. But he has long since really been abandoned by the Lord. And when you don't have the Lord, well, it makes sense that you're going to be afraid, that your heart's going to tremble greatly. And Saul tries to inquire of the Lord, but God does not answer him. It says either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. And so then he goes to seek out a medium. So he goes now into territory that is forbidden. The law clearly forbids what he is trying to do. But notice how many times when we're going to see the people of Israel do bad things, they're trying to kind of pull something good and something bad. He's going to seek advice from Samuel, which I guess you could say, well, that's a good person to seek advice from. The problem is Samuel's dead. And so he's using forbidden means to try to ask Samuel these questions. So he goes to the medium and asked her to bring up Samuel. And I've always heard verse 12 interpreted that when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, because God in his sovereignty actually allows the spirit of Samuel to come and to speak to Saul. And I've always heard she cries out with a loud voice of surprise, because normally she's not actually doing what she claims to be doing. It's a trick. It's a charade. But now there's a reality to what she is doing. And Samuel comes, and just listen to what he says to Saul. First, notice Saul, how he says, God has turned away from me. The thing I want you to notice is Saul says that almost like he's a victim. God has turned away from me and answers me no more. Why has he done that, Saul? Because you disobeyed him. And I would even add to that, because you disobeyed with him and you weren't repentant about your disobedience. So look at what Samuel says to him. Why then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done to you as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons will be with me, aka dead. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines. And you can see how distressed Saul is by this. And then we go, well, let's go ahead to the last chapter, and it tells us that the Philistines kill Saul's sons, and that Saul is wounded. He asks his armor bearer to kill him. He doesn't. So Saul ends up committing suicide. He falls on his own sword. And even the Philistines, they come and they strip off his armor. It says that they put his armor in the temple. They fasten his body to the wall of this city, and they've cut off his head. But these courageous inhabitants of Jabesh Gilead, they go and they take his body down and they burn their bodies and they bury their bones under this tree. So they try to do something to honor, to keep the body of Saul from dishonor. But there's the sad ending of King Saul. And what I want you to notice, even going back, he acts like the victim when in fact he's the perpetrator. And that's, I guess, just the main lesson that I want to tell you today. And the main lesson that I want you to see, I don't want your story to have the same sad ending as Saul. And so therefore, you need to repent. If you think of verses that talk about seek the Lord while he may be found, or today is the favorable day, today is the day of salvation. Saul sinned, but so have you. And as we'll see, King David is not perfect either. But are you repentant? Have you turned from your sin? Are you making excuses like King Saul? Are you trying to be the Burger King king and have it your way? Or are you coming in humility and in contrition and confessing your sin to God? That is the way that you can avoid the sad ending of King Saul. Realize that the sin is on you, but God stands ready to forgive. And he loves those who are humble. He loves those who are contrite. So be one of those people instead of continuing to make excuses, continuing to harden your heart. Such a critical lesson for us to learn. Now let's look just a little bit at what we see of King David here in this chapter. We will notice he's not king yet, but now he's much closer to being king. David is not perfect either, but throughout the story of his life, we see much more ownership of his sin. We see much more repentance in his life, and we see God even working and showing grace to him. I think that's what we see when the Philistines reject David. That's an act of God's mercy to him in multiple ways. I do not think it would have been a good thing for David to go to war with the Philistines against the people of Israel. God keeps him from doing that. Also, we're going to see David being sent home ends up being a providential and gracious act of God, because then they get home much sooner and they discover the problem of their city having been attacked and their wives and possessions being taken from them. They discover that a lot sooner and therefore recover it a lot more easily because they were sent home. So you can see God's grace in protecting David from being in places he shouldn't be, getting him where he needs to be. And we see God's mercy in that, because even Achish, this Philistine ruler, tells David, as the Lord lives, you have been honest. Not really. David hasn't totally been honest about what he is doing and who he has been raiding against. But then he goes, his wives are captured, and we see some different things from David in verse 6 of chapter 30, when the people are so upset, which to some extent is understandable, that they have seen their children, their wives be taken. They're so upset that they're speaking of stoning David. It says, but David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. And then he inquires of the Lord through the priest. So those are good lessons for us. When you are in adversity, strengthen yourself in the Lord and seek the Lord, inquire of the Lord, that you may find help like David did. And notice how David, even then, after they have success and they recover everything, notice what David says in verse 23. He says, "You shall not do so, my brothers, with what the Lord has given us. He has preserved us and given into our hand the band that came against us." So he gives credit to God for their deliverance. And then with the spoil, he gives a gift to the elders of Judah and makes himself a blessing to the people around him. So some good lessons there from David on what to do when we are in trouble. But the main thing I want us to see today, don't have your story end like King Saul. What are some of the reminders from his life? Don't make excuses. Humble yourself before the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Take advantage of those things today. And seriously, just if there is sin in your life right now, and you know that, what you need to do is right now, today, go and seek the Lord. Go and turn from that sin. It's a lifetime of doing that. Of when you see conviction, responding to it, that will keep you from the sad ending of King Saul. Thanks for digging into God's Word with me today on Revival from the Bible. For more resources, check out revivalfromthebible.com. To learn more about Compass Bible Church, Treasure Valley, go to compassbible.tv. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.